confused with selfish, because we don't do selfish over here. However, I'm real heavy on the self-care, and I encourage you to get you some. Hey y'all, welcome back to the Selfish Chronicles. This is episode 4, and today's subject is going to be embracing the process. I don't like to waste your time or mine's. So let's dive right into embracing the process. So I decided, as I was dwelling on what I wanted episode 4 to be, and as I realized that I wanted to discuss embracing the process, I decided to just look it up to see what men's definition for process means. And process means a series of actions or steps taken in order to achieve a particular end. Okay, so let's just think about what that means. And as far as like walking this path to self-improvement, because I'm guessing that if you are tuning in, then you are a person who is on the self-improvement journey. Okay. And so that's what the Selfish Chronicles is about, is to focus mainly on you, mainly us, me, you know, ourselves individually. So when you're on this path to self-improvement, there is a process. And if you heard in my other episodes, I've mentioned going through a process. And a lot of times it is the process that gets everybody. You get this idea. And okay, let's just say, for instance, if you want to be a lawyer, you have to go through the process of being a lawyer. You can't just become a lawyer. You can't just wake up and decide like, hey, I'm going to go into the courtroom and I'm going to start, you know, getting me some cases and I'm going to start being a lawyer. That's just not the way it goes. There is a process in order to becoming a lawyer, okay? First of all, you want to do some study on the background of being a lawyer. There's different type of lawyers. So what type of lawyer do you want to go to? So when you're going to school, when you're selecting the school or whatever, and that's when you start to find out it's different type of lawyers or whatever. So you go through the process of finding out what even type of lawyer you want to be. When you find that out, then you have to go to school. You have to study for it. You have to pass an exam and all this other stuff that goes in it. And so all that is easier said than done. That's just like as simple as saying, let's bake a cake. You can say, okay, I'm going to bake a cake. I'm going to get up early in the morning and I'm going to bake this cake. But we don't think about, a lot of times we don't think about the process that it takes to bake that cake. Sometimes the idea is good, but when you have to go through the process and go through the preparation to get the cake started, that's where a lot of people get lost and you get stuck there. So let's talk about that. I want to talk about learning how to embrace that process, learning how to embrace the journey of the process. And it's the process to what? Just like the meaning says, to achieve a particular end. What is the particular end? The biggest question, the main question as human beings is we want to know our purpose. We want to know who we are. Who am I in the world? What is my purpose? What is my meaning for life? Why am I here? That's the process that I'm talking about. Because the particular end to life is finding your purpose, tapping into your purpose and walking in your purpose. And the sad thing about this, when you start talking about it, is there is so many people that have left this earth and not even have gotten even close to what their purpose is. And so it comes to a place where you have to ask yourself a question. Because we're on this earth and you have a lot of people that are just existing. Like, we're just here. We get up, we go to work, we pay bills, and we do this, you know, every day. It's a never ending cycle. And sometimes we get so caught up in just trying to survive that we don't even learn how to actually live. And when you find purpose and you can actually walk in your purpose, that is when you really begin to live. And how does that make sense? Right? When you are just existing, the difference is you get up, it's a routine. You get up, you get a job, okay? It might not even be something that you want to do. It's just because you need an income coming in. You got to pay the rent. You got to pay the bills, mortgage, or whatever the situation is. And we have to have lights on. We have to have water. We have to have food. The basic necessities, right? And so we go through life and we just, sometimes we get so caught up in survival and just existing that we don't even have time for purpose. We don't even have time to think about our purpose, our passion. A lot of us, you know, we have kids and things like that, and we think that, oh, my life is over, my dreams of what I wanted to do, I had kids, so now I'm a mother. But that's not it. It's not it. It's a part of life, and it's a part of the process of things that are happening. And we have to understand that everybody's process is unique. Because my purpose is not your purpose. My purpose is not my daughter's purpose. My daughter's purpose is not my purpose. We have our own individual purpose. The word of God says that every man is to seek out their own soul salvation. It's written in the word. We say, yeah, I want to go to school, and we got these great ideas. I want to open up a business. And this is a great idea. Right? We have this vision and we have this picture. In a perfect world, right? Everything is going to go according to plan in a perfect world. But unfortunately, we don't live in a perfect world, right? So some things may go according to plan, but a lot of things are not. And so what happens when things don't go according to plan? How do we handle those things mentally? Because some people stop in the process. Some people don't make it to the end because we were thinking about lollipops and gumdrops. We didn't factor in that it could be a tornado that decides to come down and tear everything we built. And then we question God. I've done everything right. I've done everything you asked me. And we know that's not true. Because we know good and daggone well that we some hard-headed folks. And that's just the truth. And so the reality is that our choices determines our outcome. And during that process, we don't let go and let God. We say it all the time. It sounds easy, right? Let go, let God. How many words is that? Let go, let God. That's four words. That sounds simple. Those four words is the hardest thing in the world for people to do, right? Let's just be real, because I don't believe in being fake, right? Like, if we're going to have a conversation, we're going to have a discussion, let's be real. Let's not, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can pick and choose who you have a conversation with. So there's no need to have a fake conversation if you don't have to. We're going to be authentic here. The choices that we make We don't let go and let God. We always get in the way because man thinks that we can do it. We only want to call on God when our back is against the road and they feel like, oh, you know, I can't. This is too much. God is like just watching you like, you know, had you said something the first time, we wouldn't even be in this predicament. But because I love you, I'm going to go ahead and help you out. But guess what? I got to teach you something. See, that's what God does. Our Father, He teaches us. Everything is a teachable moment. And you have to be willing to be teachable. That's the thing that gets people to. It's pride. Okay? That was the reason of the fall. It's pride. So you know pride is riding on this earth strong. Okay? It's heavy out here. Pride heavy out here. Okay, let's not act like it's not when it is. Okay, and all of us have been guilty of letting pride ride. Okay, so when we allow ourselves to be teachable, then we can learn and God can work with us. When you're unteachable, you're hard to work with. And from a parent's perspective, I can relate to that. Because it's like, I'm not finna argue with someone who's unteachable. And this is pertaining to my children. This is pertaining to my children and anybody. But when you embrace the process and allow God to use these moments as a teachable moment, He wants to build character in your process. And this is what embracing the process looks like. This is what saying, okay, Lord, the tornado came and tore down my whole house. I ain't got nothing. I'm at ground zero. But you know what? I'm still on this earth. And you could have took me out with the house, but you didn't. So instead of me focusing on the material things and focus on what I don't got, let me focus on what I do have in my life. And see, that's where God wants us to be. That's where God wants to get us. That's embracing the process. That's appreciating the good. That's appreciating that God taking a bad situation and making it into good and not focusing on what you lost. Before I got to this place, I remember I had got to ground zero. I didn't have nothing. Like, I lost my job, everything, about to lose my vehicle. Like, I don't even know how the roof over my head was able to stand. Cause, baby, listen, being broken, I remember trying to find my way out that hole. And I went a lot of crazy avenues, like the universe. And, you know what I'm saying? Like getting into all this off stuff. And the person that I was involved in, I got to picking up bad habits from this person. And oh, Jesus, thank you for being free. Like, oh my goodness, I have to take a pause and just say, because y'all, I'm telling y'all, like, it was crazy what I went through. Like, I went through this crazy mental breakdown to where I was gaslighting so bad because I wasn't focusing on me, Laquanda. I wasn't focusing on me as an individual. I was too busy worrying about having somebody, and this person was no good for me at all. You know, this person was, oh, Jesus. And I didn't care about purpose. I was just existing. And I was just going through the motions because of this false facade that was painted into my life. You gotta be married. You will be married. I can't stand that. Like, I just can't stand that because that's not in the word of God. That throws so many people off. Like, for real though. Let's just get 1,000 with the situation. That throws a lot of people off. That's why we be missing our purpose and we be missing our plan and we don't even be knowing who we are, but we be getting pushed into trying to paint this fake picture and have these fake goals. God did not say that was the goal to be married. That is not the goal. We supposed to be seeking the kingdom of God. Every man is to find out their own soul salvation with fear and trembling. What happened to that? Why is that not being taught? Why is that not being pushed? Why are we being pushed into feeling like that we have to have somebody? We're not being taught the correct order. We supposed to find out who we are, first of all. And we be wondering why the relationships and stuff be toxic and all that. Because here we got two people that don't even know who they even are themselves. And they trying to come together, trying to tell each other what they need. And you can't even give your own self what you need. Woo, come on now. Preach, preacher. Ooh-wee. Listen. The path to self-improvement, you have to focus on yourself. We got to know who we are, okay? There needs to be a new cycle. Our kids need to see something different because all what's been going on ain't been working for generations and generations and decades and decades. It ain't working. Somewhere, we have to break that cycle. We have to break that curse. That generational curse of being in bondage. We want to walk in freedom. Who wants to walk in freedom? I want to be free. I don't want to be forced into something because I'm trying to look like, I'm trying to fulfill a picture. We being pressured into marriages that we ain't ready for. We need to be taught how to find ourselves and tap into our purpose. Because I've come into this truth, this is what I teach my children. I teach my children that it's important to know who you are. It's important to self-reflect on yourself. Boys, I tell my girls, boys, they're gonna be here, okay? You don't need an individual to validate who you are, to validate your beauty. When you are confident in who you are as an individual, we don't need to seek that acceptance from others because we confidently know who we are already. So if there is an equal yoke and it's time for you to come together with someone, you guys can be an asset to each other. You guys are not bringing in baggage from traumas and things you haven't been healed. And then we expect unhealed people to know how to deal with unhealed people. Like, it's just a big old toxic mess. And it's just a cycle that just keep on. And it just bothers me. It just really bothers me, you know? This is a new time. People are afraid of change. When you go into a new job and you get a new management, do you know how many people push back against that? Because people really don't like change. One thing that I learned about myself is that, see, I switch my hair up. I tell them, you know what I'm saying? You got to keep up. Because I'm going to switch it up on you. Some people will try to make you feel bad about that. But what I learned in that about me is that I am willing to roll with the punches. I don't mind change. Change is good, especially if it ain't hurting nobody, especially if it ain't toxic. You've been in a field for 20 something years and you are unhappy. Baby, you are just existing. You are not walking in purpose. And so the main question here is, do we want to exist or do we want to live? I feel that it is important. It is more important for me to find out who I am and tap into my purpose than to be in a relationship with a man. Sometimes our priorities are in the wrong places, which is why we can't embrace process, which is why We can't roll with the punches with God because we're trying to step in the way. And we say, your will, your way be done in my life, Lord. But guess what? We don't know what that look like. And we can't look at Susie over there and be like, well, you know, because there's no comparison when there's no competition. There's no competition with God. There's no competition. Because all our paths and our process are unique. So what works for Susie may not work for me. You can't look at somebody else and compare. That's why self-reflection and being selfish, being on your selfish stuff is so important. Because when you truly start tapping into purpose, you don't care what Susie got going on. Because you're confident in the ability and the strength that God places in you, that you are on your path and you are okay with that. And your path doesn't look like Susie. Susie may have found her husband. That may be in Susie's path. And we have to really ask ourselves, is that in my path or is it not? Is that going with my purpose? See, Susie's husband may be an asset to her purpose. I don't need any distractions from my purpose. My purpose is more important. See, my priorities in life have changed. When I was in the world, before I built my relationship, when I was broken and I had to be made over, and God allowed me to go down that journey, and I appreciate it because he had to break me down. See, God knows how to get our attention, and his love is so deep for us, we can't even fathom it, because he will break you down to your socks, because it's the only way she gonna talk to me if I take it all away. So he knows what to do to get our attention. And when he broke me down, he rebuilds and reconstructs into his perfect masterpiece. And see, we have to understand and embrace God for who he really is, the creator. When the tornado comes through the city and it tears everything down, yes, everything gets rebuilt. And it's all new. And so the word says we have to be renewed in him. So there's going to be some breaking. The process is going to get rough. It's going to get ugly. Don't think when you sign up for school that it's just going to be all hunky-dory. Oh, I'm just going to get up every day and go to school. It's not going to be no issues. It's going to be some issues. It's going to be some stuff that's going to come through. But guess what? Only the strong survive. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And when we have Christ and we utilize Christ for who he is, we are unstoppable. And that's embracing the process. See, I would like to envision myself in a car on the passenger side, and Jesus is in the driver's seat and he's driving and I'm riding, right? That's what I would like to envision. And when we learn how, just like when they were on that boat and they were up at the top and the storm was coming and they were scared and Jesus was down there asleep, and they said, did it say he was laying on a pillow? I don't know, but the word describes him as he was comfortable and he was asleep during this raging storm. And they got Jesus right there. And they are fighting. How's y'all up there fighting? Just imagine that. Picture that, because that's what we do. That is what we do. We fighting. And Jesus like, the truth. He chilling. So if he's in the driver's seat and we got the music bumping, right? This is how I would like to envision it. Just envision this. Come on. Let's just go on a little vision here real quick before we end this. Look, I'm acting like I'm turning the volume up or you know, some of us a little fancy. We got the button on the steering wheel. Let's push it up. And Jesus is driving. He got the wheel, right? And we're on the passenger side. And when you go on a road trip, if you ever been on a road trip and you're going down those country roads and stuff, and you just watching the view, and it's just smooth. Uh-oh, here we going into a state, and they got a winter storm. Hold on, wait a minute. Even if we riding through, when we riding through that tornado, we supposed to just keep our seatbelt on and just ride. But we don't do that. Guess what we do? We gonna grab the wheel like Jesus don't know what he doing. We gonna grab that wheel and be like, hold on, Lord, wait. We gonna be doing all that. And he just gonna be looking at us like, what is you doing, girl? Go sit down. Go sit your butt down somewhere. I got this. You know, we tell our kids, just sit down and ride. You know what I'm saying? My kids want to get in the vehicle. Can I turn my song on? What song is it? Because I don't know. What you trying to listen to? Because you know I don't be listening to all that. So what do you what? Just sit down and ride, you know? And so that's what we have to learn to do. And that is embracing the process. And it is easier said than done. But when you are on the path to self-improvement, we don't know what that looks like. So we have to learn how to walk by faith and not by sight. We have to learn how to trust our creator that created us and allow his will, his way to be done in our life, no matter what that looks like. And sometimes it's going to be bad. Sometimes it's going to be ugly. Sometimes it's going to be rough. But if we keep pressing through, if we keep going through, no matter what people say, you know what I'm saying? When you have a dialect with Christ and you build that dialect with Christ, can't nobody tell you nothing about your purpose and nothing about your plan. All these false prophets and all this stuff, if it don't line up with your connection with Christ, then I don't care what you talk about. Because listen here, people gonna come. The enemy definitely gonna try to use whoever to get you off track. That's why you gotta have your dialect with Christ so sewed up. That's why it's not about just going to no church building. Listen, Christ is with me wherever I'm at. I need him wherever I'm at. You know what I'm saying? I'm a firm believer in Christ. I'm a true rider. And so when you have that dialect, just like Noah, when they told Noah, I'm gonna end it on this note here. When God spoke to Noah, even Moses, he spoke to these people directly. When Noah had to build the ark and he had to give him precise instructions on what to use, the measurements and all this. This is how much dialect he had with Christ. This is how close he was, because he had a purpose. And people laughed at him. They talked about him. You don't know what you talking about. It ain't never rain. Yeah, God might have you on a purpose that somebody ain't never did before. God gonna use anybody he can. Don't underestimate the little dog. Why you sleeping on folks and don't want to receive the message because of who the messenger is? You know what I'm saying? Don't get caught in the flood without no protection. Everybody ain't going to be doing what you doing because your purpose ain't their purpose. But that don't mean it's wrong, especially when you have your dialect with Christ. Can't nobody tell you nothing different. Could nobody tell Noah? They was laughing at him and all that stuff. Talking about it ain't never rain. Yeah, it ain't never rain, but baby, you right. It ain't never rain. But it's about to come in like a floodgate. And I don't even think Noah really understood the magnitude. But he was obedient. He built that dialect. And he was confident in his purpose. And when he was obedient and he embraced the process, he embraced the hard work. He probably had to go on journeys to find some of that unique bark and all the stuff in the wood that he used. It didn't say that everything was right there at his fingertips. They didn't have cars. You know how long he probably had to walk and how heavy that stuff was to build this big old ark? To put all these animals his family in to bring in a whole new generation of life? That's easier said than done. When you have to believe and trust that God gave you a meaningful purpose to be here. He just didn't slap us together. It don't matter if you feel like your purpose is big or small, whatever it is. Embrace the process. Embrace the journey. Stop listening to folks to get you off track. Stop allowing them distractions to come and really think about, do you want to exist or do you want to live? I encourage you, find your purpose and embrace the process. So until next time, you guys be blessed and stay encouraged. Peace.